and we know he is standing on holy ground. He is saying, all surely around him, surely around him. Surely around, surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know we're standing on holy ground. He is surely around it, surely. We know we are standing on holy ground. He is all around.
Dear Heavenly Father, surely you are here in our midst, O Lord. Surely you are always faithful to fulfill your word. And since we are gathered in your name, you were even here before we came, because you are never late into your appointments, O Lord. Heavenly Father, take now control of everything that will be said, done, every single song, every special item, every offering, every tithe, anything that will be done in this service, O Lord. Let it be for your glory, O Lord. Let every human element be taken out, O Lord, and you minister straight from your throne to our souls, Heavenly Father, and speak straight to your children and meet their expectations, O Lord. Answer their problems, answer their questions, O Lord. Heal the sick. We think of our brother David. Be with him, Heavenly Father. Heal him, touch him, O Lord. Let your healing hand restore him completely and let him be back to his post of duty. Our sister comforts, O Lord, be with her. Help her get out of the hospital, O Lord, and recover fully, full health, O Lord, and be back to serving you, serving your servants, O Lord, and ministering for the kingdom. We commit now this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. So, thank you, musicians. Thank you, Brother Vegas. God bless you. Okay, you may be seated. There's no. We are thankful to the Lord for another Sunday morning. Amen. The week so far has been a blessing. Wednesday, Friday, the preaching of the word, the prayer requests, and the morning manners every day. So we are really thankful to the Lord for providing for this body, this local body, this local church. We are very thankful because we find our daily portion for our souls in this fellowship that we have together. Amen. Praying for each other, encouraging each other. Just imagine if you were alone in this island. Of course, you will still be a believer. But just imagine how heavy the burden would be to carry. Because there's no brother or sister to share your burdens with. Because sometimes just speaking, telling someone your problems, it's let off that pressure in you. And someone you trust, someone who has the Holy Ghost, when you share your problem with him or her, it's just another layer of relief that you get than if you were alone. So that's why we are stressing the importance of this local fellowship, the local body. It provides us with that atmosphere to keep us, to keep the fire burning in us, to keep us believers, to keep us Christians. As Brother Branham said the other day, that coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, but coming to church helps you to maintain your experience. Coming to church, fellowshipping helps you maintain your Christian experience. Amen. So that's why it's no good at any stage in your life, your spiritual experience, don't come to that stage where you will break fellowship with the believer. It may happen for some reason that you may be not in position to attend, or for some good reason, but don't just wake up a morning and say, I don't need to go to church. It will kill you. It will really kill you. So it is very, very important to keep our fellowship one another, to share our burdens, to come to listen to the word. It keeps the fire burning in you. As we said the other day, a lonely lion is doomed to failure. Because a lion is not made to live alone. And if it happened for a season that a lion, because in their growth, especially the male lions, at a certain stage, they came to an age where they start challenging their dad, their father, and the father, whether it kills it or it chases it away. At that stage, it becomes lonely. It's a very, very dangerous time for that lion, because it will end up whether being killed or die of starvation. That's why its constant desire at that time of loneliness is to find a herd, how do you call it? A colony of, yeah?
Pride.
A bride, or a pride, yes. Its constant desire is to find a bride and take it over. If there is a man there, it will feed itself, it will train itself so that a certain time it will be strong enough to go and take over the pride. Because the lion is not supposed to live alone. It's supposed to live in community. We are the children of a lion. We are lions by nature. So if you start thinking that you will get away with it, that's good. It will work for a while, but after a certain time, you'll just realize that you are compromising. You are just doing things that you are not supposed to do. Even this position of, I'll stay home, I have tapes, I have whatever the messages I will read, that's fine. But I just wonder, the day you want to get married, will the tapes marry you? Amen. Yeah, let's just be, your church is the tapes. That's fine. But you want to get married. Will you ask the tapes to marry you? No. How will you pay your tithes? Will you put it in the tapes? So there's many, many things. The tapes are good. They are part of the ministry of the bride. The prophet, he was asked the question, will the bride have a ministry before the rapture? The prophet said, yes, it's what is happening now. It means the tapes that were being recorded. It was the ministry of the bride. But he added, it's apostles, pastors, evangelists, and so forth. The fivefold ministry make up the ministry of the bride. The tapes are good because these are the core value. These are the foundation, the message. But you need ministries to cater to care for other needs that you have as a believer. Amen. So that's why we are looking at this topic of local church is very, very important and its organization. So when they started at the Pentecost, we know all that there were 12 apostles, and from the speech of Peter in Acts 2, 3,000 were converted that day. And after a few days, they spoke in the temple, another 5,000. So day after day, people started getting added to the group. The group was getting bigger and bigger. It needed a certain organization. And problems started arising. As you know, in any community, even in the church where Jesus was the pastor, there were still problems. Amen. Even where Jesus himself was the pastor with his 12 and other people, there were still problems. This one will raise, who is greater amongst us? This one will raise, Master, when you will come, I want to sit on your left and on your right. The others will say, why do you want to sit on the left? I want to be there. So there were still problems in the church where Jesus himself was a pastor. So that's why it took a certain organization to get things moving. That's why Judah Iscariot was in charge of keeping money. Amen. There was a certain organization even in the group where Jesus was the pastor. Peter and I don't know another disciple were in charge of going to pay the tithe. I don't know, the tax. He didn't tell everybody to go and pay the tax. He told Peter, you go and do this, and go and pay our taxes. There was a certain organization. So when they started the initial church, problems started arising. We know in Acts 6, because people were selling their goods and bringing their belongings, putting it together. And you know, there's still some kind of favoritism among people. So the Jews started giving some more to their widows, and the Greeks were not happy with the way the Jews were behaving, and there was a few misunderstandings. So in Acts 6, they say, from verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business of serving tables, of distributing goods. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So a certain organization was required. The apostles were there preaching, and while he's on the pulpit preaching, a widow from, I don't know, another estate will come. Hey, Brother Peter, you see, brother such and such, we are starving. They just gave to the other family. He didn't. So it was. It became now a kind of, how do you call it? It became really disorganized. So they said, instead of us preaching and looking after the distributing staffs and so forth, let appoint people. These were the first deacons. Amen. So them apostles and ministers will remain preaching the word, praying for the sick, praying for themselves, or whatever spiritual resources they need to bring into the group. But some other people would be there to look after these other issues, this other business of storing, of acquiring, of giving out. So that organization was put in place. But we don't want to go deep into that yet. But those these groups, as they were formed around the first cities of the Christianity, there was in every group people who were in charge, people who were kind of the leaders of the group, whether they were ministers, whether they were deacons, whether they were called, but there was a core group that were the leaders, the elders of the group, amen? And to those people, the disciples, they established some principles, because that order for it to be maintained, there must be some kind of mutual obligations between the leaders and the people that are being led. There was some kind of approach, relationship that must exist between the two groups. So the disciples were very, very serious on that relationship. They wanted it to be very clear that a certain order must reign between these two groups. The leader, it's not, as the prophet puts it, that the Holy Ghost was with the leader and the group there didn't have the Holy Ghost. Or these people are the most holy and you guys are not holy, you have, no. The Holy Ghost is in the whole church. Everybody has got the same Holy Ghost. But the same Holy Ghost has appointed some people in the church to be in charge. Amen. And to those people, in Hebrews, Paul says, we need to establish these principles because it will help us as a church to maintain order and discipline. Amen. Amen. He says in Hebrews 13:17, says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. 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 These are core principles of the Bible. Amen. As a local church must function. There's those people that God has established to lead you. The Bible says you must obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself. Because the only way someone can help you is if you accept his authority. Is if you accept his rulership. It's not that the person wants to make you a slave, but it's according to the principles of the word of God. If you need help, you must accept to be helped. Let's say someone who is drowning in a water, in a river. You must be willing to be helped. And the person will come, who is coming to help you, you must submit yourself to the person who is coming to help you. Because you are in a position that you are completely depending, your life depends on that person who is coming to help you. You have to accept to cooperate with that person. You can't start to tell him, oh no, you know, you want to help me, but you need to put on, you know, you don't have nice shoes before you come to help me drown out of the waters. No. It's just an example, you know. But it takes submission first. You need to accept that that person is there to help you. Next, he says, because they watch for your souls as they that must give account. We read the other day that anything we say here from this pulpit, we know it's a matter of death and life to you. And we will answer. Myself, Brother Maxwell, any other minister, all over the world, but we are talking about this body. Us that stand here, God will hold us responsible for not telling you the truth. And we have that responsibility to do our best to tell you what we believe to be the truth. And it's your responsibility, it's your duty to accept it as being the truth. Amen. If you believe that there is a glimpse of Holy Ghost in one of the men that stand here, and that man is sincere to tell you the truth, it's your duty to accept the truth and put it in practice. Because if we don't tell you the truth, God will hold us for responsible for what we have done. That's why we are trying. It's not out of, we don't want to control people. We don't want to control your mind. We don't want to make you our slaves. But we are telling you what the word say. If we find that in the group there's someone who is getting away from the principles of the word, we would be hypocrites to tell you that, brother, sister, what you are doing is good. Carry on. God is with you. God will hold us responsible. That's why it's our responsibility to tell you. Even if sometimes we seem to be very harsh. Because as the prophet says, if you see your son or your brother, someone you love, going into a ditch, you won't go nicely and tell him, you know, Sonny, I love you, and look at me. No, you will shout. Sometimes you will grab him and pull him. Sometimes it may hurt him. But it's out of love. Amen? It's only out of love. That's why sometimes we come here and we speak about high heels. You know, it hurts sometimes. It will hurt you, but it's about the word of God. We'll come and speak about those tight clothes so sometimes you may be putting on you sisters. It's very important that you understand these principles. God has given you a certain responsibility as a woman. That's why he made our bodies different. Your body, God made it a sacred body. Because you carry life and you bring life in the world. So you have to be very, very careful in the way you keep your body. And if we see that something is wrong, that's why we are coming to talk. Of course, they are talking about equality today and this and that. But even those people that promote equality, just a simple example. If a man walks topless in the streets, it won't scandalize anyone. But if a woman walks topless in the streets, everybody is going to make headlines. So these issues about equality, it's fine up to a certain level. Even themselves, they don't believe it. Amen. Even themselves, they don't believe that equality they are talking about. But since we are living in a world of politically correct, everybody wants to be seen as fashion. Is not traditional, is a modern man. That's why they do what they do. But they don't believe it themselves. So it's very important. That's why we are mentioning these things. In 1 Timothy 5:17, the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Amen. We don't want to make ourselves big people. This is the word. We don't want, I'm not trying to make myself, no, I'm nothing. But the prophet says, if you don't respect the man, respect the office. We are talking about the gift of God. We are talking about the office the person holds in the body. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. You have to honor them. You have to honor them because just look at the sacrifice your pastor, Brother Maxwell, or whoever does on top. Because let me tell you something. Brother Andrew, as he is there, if he says today, I won't preach anymore, let me tell you something. He's saved. He will go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Nothing will stop him from going to heaven. He's saved. He has the Holy Ghost. He can sit his whole life not preaching, he will go to heaven. But God has trusted him with a certain gift to minister other people into heaven. Of course, if he doesn't preach, his reward won't be as much as if he preaches. But it won't prevent him from getting into heaven. God has trusted him, giving him a certain gift to care about other souls, to help them enter heaven with him. So, since he's there, they are there ministering, doing something extra, which is not really for their own salvation, but for your salvation, you need to give them some kind of honor. That's why the Bible says they are worthy of double honor. You honor them as your brother, but you honor them as ministers as well. You honor them as those who care about your souls. Amen. That's why the Bible says, let's read it quickly. Oh, time is going so fast. Matthew 10:41, we are going to stop there. Matthew 10:41, if you can give it. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Amen. He that receives a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the prophet, Brother Branham says, the New Testament preacher is the prophet. Amen. So any preacher in the New Testament, he is a prophet. This scripture applies to preachers. If you receive a minister, a preacher, you treat him as a minister. As the Bible says, you give him double honor. You will receive the prophet's reward. And what is a prophet's reward? We have not the time to read it. I preached it once here, I think. The prophet was asked that question. What is a prophet's reward? The prophet says, remember the Shunammite woman. Amen. Amen. In that answer, the prophet says, remember the Shunammite woman. She received the prophet, and she received a prophet's reward. What was the prophet's reward? If you read that story, that woman was a widow. No, she was not widow. She was barren. She was barren. She has no child. And her husband was old. Her husband couldn't give the seed of life anymore. Even when the prophet told the woman, I will come next year in this season and you'll have a child, the woman, she doubted. She said, it can't be done, because she could see, the Bible says, her husband was old. But since she received a prophet as a prophet, there was the ministry of a son of man, because the prophet is a son of man. Amen. And when the son of man comes, what happens? There's a body change. Amen. Amen. Every time the son of man comes, it brings a body change. Amen. He did it with that Shunammite woman. The husband got a body change, and she conceived and gave it a child. The son of man visited Abraham as a son of man. Abraham received him as a prophet. He received the prophet's reward, which was the change of his body, the change of Sarah's body. They were able now to reproduce again. Amen. Receiving a prophet, receiving a son of man as a son of man, it brings you the reward of a son of man. That's why your body change, your rapture, depends on how you deal with, you treat the men, the ministers that minister the word to you. Because they are prophets, they are sons of men. And when they come and you receive them as son of man, your body change depends on that. Amen. Your rapture depends on that. God bless you. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, take now these few words that has been said, maybe not as it should be, but you know our desire as it was expressed. You know that we pray that you speak to your people and minister to their souls. We believe that you will take these words and make it a living bread to them. You'll take these words and make it something that will keep them, something that will protect them against the attacks of the enemy. Don't let anyone become proud, oh Lord, to believe that he doesn't need help, oh Lord. We need each other. We need to keep this local body healthy, oh Lord. Help us through our behavior. Help us through our attitude to each other to maintain this body healthy, because this is the house of the bread of God. This is where we come to strengthen our paths, oh Lord, and to go high and high in the realms of wisdom. We thank you. Take us now. Take the leadership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.